Welcome back to another podcast episode on Life and Being Human. I'm your host, Catherine Colleen, and this is the podcast where we test the fences of life. Today, we are talking about a little birthday-induced existentialism. So strap in. This gets kind of dark, or maybe it just gets real. But as my physical manifestation marks 43 trips around the sun, my soul feels still new and naive. I track the same orbit around the same star, but always feel like I'm somewhere new and unfamiliar. And maybe that's because I am. We're speeding through the universe and literally are always somewhere new. Yes, but also because the temporary manifestations of myself and everyone else's self and the temporary manifestations that are the buildings and the cities and the trees and the animals and all are in a constant state of evolution. Of coming into being and changing. In other words, this world is new and different at every moment. I mean, it's dizzying. I long to sit quietly and be the oneness inside of me, still and unchanging for just a little while. Maybe I'm getting tired of tracking the temporary and acting like each evolution is a big freaking deal. The absurdity of how everyone freaks out at the temporary evolutions of politics, opinion, fashion, and people. Humanity creates these things, acts like they're important, and occupies itself with lashing out ugly opinions and even uglier defenses of those same opinions. Your temporary little self, knowing it is not real, piles onto itself opinions of every manner to appear more substantial. These paper opinions are based on even more temporary imagined aspects of our own fleeting existence. But how we defend them. Boy, do we. The reality is that we have been thrown seemingly unwillingly into this existence, this life. And there are a few rules that seem to govern it. So let's go through them. Because I think if we get the rules down, we might can figure out why we're here. So let's talk about awareness. You will be aware of the random and absurd nature of your existence. Most people at some point come to this conclusion. The fact that life is very short, that we're spinning through the universe at great speeds, and it's all somewhat random and absurd. The second rule, you will exist in two parts, one physical and the other not. The other part, you can say, is energy or mind or something, soul, something more. Your energy being will be tied to that of everything else and capable of influencing it. This is what we know. All right, fourth rule. You will want to feel purposeful even though there is no obvious purpose. You will want one. Rule 5, you must make a purpose for yourself if you want to have one. Now, on top of that, there are no rules for how you are to spend your time. You can spend your time any way you like. So it almost feels like zero purpose, right? You want to feel purposeful even though there is no obvious purpose. You can make one for yourself. You have to make one if you want one. There are no rules for how you spend your time, and you can spend it any way you like. All right, now let's talk about the temporary nature of all of it. Everything dies or passes out of existence at random points, including you. That's what we know. We also know that you are here for a finite yet unknown time span. But so is everything and everyone else. We're all in the same boat in this temporary nature. And then there's a sense of like zero consequence, despite what religions say. So you can do, say, create, but anything you do or say or create or affect will eventually pass out of existence. It will cease to be. You can build a building, but one day, eventually, it won't be there anymore. You can write a book or paint a painting, but eventually it will be destroyed or forgotten. So anything you do, say, create, or affect will eventually pass out of existence. Therefore, you can have zero effect on the long-term, and I mean long-term, future of this existence. Thousands of years from now, whatever you do, most likely, 99.9%, will be irrelevant. And I think this is actually a good thing, but we'll get to that. So your life ultimately has zero consequence outside of your life and the lives of a few others. Now, of course, there are major counterexamples to this, right? Major religious figures, certain inventors who have been long remembered and will probably be remembered for hundreds of years to come, we would think. But hundreds of thousands of years? I don't know. Probably not. So zero consequence. The next thing we know is that we have a pretty limited effect. The only thing you can affect is your own experience while you are here, and the experience of a small handful of others by your actions or example. Now, a rare few will be able to influence millions or even billions, but for most of us, it's not in the cards. Some actions or experiences will bring you joy or bring others joy. Some will be neutral, and some will bring you or others pain. Focusing on the experiences of others can bring joy, but too much focusing on the experience of others can bring pain as you neglect your own experience. That's not good either. Focusing on your own experience too much can also have negative consequences. So the sweet spot seems to be in focusing on the experience of others and yourself and finding that the right balance there. But ultimately, your effect is limited to while you're here. So there seem to be relatively few requirements. One, you must maintain your physical being or you will die. You must eat, you must sleep, etc. Two, you must maintain some kind of an income source so that you can get food and shelter and clothing. But that's it. These are the only requirements. Anything else you think you have to do is purely imaginary, is purely in your own head. You don't have to do anything beyond these two things. Maintain your physical being and have some kind of an income source so that you can get food and clothing and shelter. So this is kind of interesting. So let's put this all together. Here's what we know about the rules of life so far. One, really awareness. You will be aware. You exist in two parts, physical and energy, and the energy part will be tied to everything else and able to influence it. There's really zero purpose unless you find or make one for your individual self. But there really are no rules how you spend your time. You can do whatever you want. Everything's completely temporary. Whatever you do here will, with near certainty, at some point in the distant future, be destroyed or forgotten. So what happens here stays relatively local in your own timeline. There's very little consequence in the very long term. There may be plenty of consequence right this minute or today for the things that you do, but there's very little consequence or effect beyond your own lifespan for what you do here. And there's only two requirements: maintain your physical being and maintain some kind of an income source for food, shelter, and clothing. That's it. So if you put these all together, I think it means that it's either a game or a vacation. And I've heard people suggest that maybe it's a game. Maybe it's just a big simulated game. We're in a giant simulation all playing a big game. Yeah, maybe. I can certainly see the evidence for that. Or maybe it's a vacation. From what? I don't actually know. I don't know. But regardless of if it's a game or a vacation, it doesn't matter if it's a game or a vacation, because either way, we should be having a lot more fun. We should be taking things a lot less seriously. And that is my big conclusion from my birthday existentialism. All right. Thanks for your indulgence on that. We'll love your feedback. Register at the website, KatherineColleen.com/studio, or you can just go to KOABD.com and it'll go straight to KatherineColleen.com/studio. And sign up. Talk to me over there. Put in questions. Put in thoughts. Let me know what you think. Maybe you figured out some different perspectives on this. I would love to hear it. Okay, so I'm starting to take questions from people if I can help. So I am on a mission to help people find peace by helping them spend more time in the later stages of their development, their personal development, self-development, religious development, spiritual development, and so on, understanding life and being human and being happy and joyous in that. So I got an interesting question, and here it is. I'm angry at work because my boss is incompetent and arrogant. It's otherwise a great job. I just don't want to be angry. This is a really great question. So who among us had not at some point had a boss that is incompetent and arrogant? Arrogant kind of tends to go with incompetent. I don't know why. Like trying to cover up the incompetence by acting arrogant. Fake it till you make it. I don't know. So this is, that's a crappy situation. Sucks. I feel for you. But let's examine what's going on here. So the boss is probably aware of his incompetence. I know sometimes we as people can be incompetent and not be aware of it. But I think probably once you get past at least 30, you're pretty aware of what you're incompetent at. And that the arrogance is the sign that tells me he knows he's incompetent. He knows he does not know what he needs to know for this job. And perhaps he doesn't even care to take the measures to get to know what he needs to know for this job, right? So he's okay being incompetent and just covering it up with arrogance. This is really frustrating, though, because if you are competent, it can be enormously frustrating to respect someone who is not. And I get that. And you wish you had a boss that was competent. Somebody you could look up to, somebody you could respect, that you could really, you know, feel like a team with, which is ideal. But that's not going to happen. So let's start by accepting the situation that you're in. He is incompetent, he is arrogant, and that is not likely to change in the short term. Okay. there it is. There you are. This is your situation. But you say otherwise, it's a great job. Awesome. I'm not sure I would leave this job. I think I would stay in this job and enjoy the aspects of it which are good. So let's start with number one. Each day, remind yourself of what you like about this job. You say it's a great job. So why? Take a look at why it's a great job and count that out. Count your blessings, right? The anger is really what the issue is. It's not really that the boss is incompetent and arrogant. It's that you feel anger at that situation. Anger is our own reaction, right? That is an internal reaction that's happening inside of you. The boss is not in control of that anger reaction. He is not causing the anger. Other people cannot make you feel a certain way. You make you feel a certain way. So you are making yourself feel angry. You are feeling anger. And now anger is always rooted in fear. Someone once said, anger is what fear looks like in public. So if you're feeling angry, you need to ask yourself, what am I afraid of? Let's take a second for that one. What are you afraid of? Get to the fear at the root of this anger. And there's going to be some insight there for you. If you can get to the fear, what do you fear? Do you fear losing this job? Do you fear lack of recognition? Do you fear that you might feel forced to find some other job? Whatever that fear is, examine it. What is the fear at the root of this anger? Get rid of the fear, and you get rid of the anger. You are not required to feel either one. Will you fear periodic annoyance at his incompetence? Oh, hell yeah. Absolutely. Because that's annoying. and periodically, he's going to be incompetent. He's going to be arrogant. You want to be mindful of that and just breathe. There he is again, being an incompetent, arrogant fool. That's that guy, you know, and just, I don't know, be thankful that there's some certainty in the world, and the certainty is that your boss is incompetent and arrogant. So at least there's something you can hang on to, right? But ask yourself, what is the fear at the root of your anger? Face that fear. And if you have to, do whatever you have to do to expunge yourself of that fear. So getting rid of fear. Depends on the type of fear that you've got. Some fears are primal. Some fears are, set in us from childhood, something that happened as a kid. Some fears are centered around a role as provider for family or in terms of our relationships with others. So it just kind of depends. So sometimes to confront a fear is a great way to get rid of it, like the primal fear of starvation. If you go on a 2 or 3 day fast, you will confront that. And see what that's like, and then you won't really fear that anymore. Fears that have been held since childhood sometimes need something a little bit more ceremonious, like thanking them for protecting you as a child, but you don't need it anymore and let it go. Fears that are rendered more in the adult world from adult situations and relationships and providing and family and all of that stuff, sometimes will relinquish actually more easily. Right, the newer a fear is, the faster and easier you can get rid of it. And you can usually logic your way out of these newer, more, let's call it adult onset fear. So you can logic your way out of it. If it's fear of job loss, take a look at the actual probability and reality of that. If it's a fear of that you won't be recognized because his incompetence is going to kind of cast a shadow over the whole team, which could be, you can say, well, how else might I become recognized for any good work I may be doing? And find other ways to kind of work around it. So I would logic your way through any fear that may be adult onset. So that's what I would do. Good question. Get rid of the fear. You'll get rid of the anger. And enjoy this job for the great job it is, regardless of who your boss is. And in the meantime, consider manifesting yourself a better boss. I know, crazy idea. But remember, you are in charge of your reality. Now, there are certain situations where manifesting a better boss doesn't work. If your boss is the owner of the company, you are not going to manifest a better boss. Well, at least I doubt it. I never say never. But if, you know, if the bosses tend to be somewhat transient anyway through your company, then you can absolutely manifest a better boss. So let's review how you would do that. Imagine what a better boss would be and be really, really, really freaking specific. What is their education? What is their work background? What are their qualifications? What is their personality like? How do they interact with people? I want you to sit there for just a few minutes and imagine what it feels like to have a boss that you just massively enjoy working with. That, you know, they come down the hallway and when they have a chat, what is that like? Do you like a boss that gets to the point or a boss that goes, you know, small talk for a while? Do they give recognition when it's due, right? All the good things that a boss should do. And imagine what that feels like and feel it for a few minutes in your work environment every day. And get yourself a better boss. That way. Meanwhile, work on this fear that's at the heart of it so that it doesn't generate anger in the future. All right. That was a good one. So if you want to ask questions, register at the website. It's $1 per year, just enough to keep everybody well behaved on the discussion board. And no more. And then let me know how I can help. Send me questions, send me feedback. We'll talk about it on the podcast here. And we will see you next time. Thanks for joining us.